The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It's Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. May the 4th be with you. And this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted, right here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. My name is Shannon Young. Just got done producing an all-new episode of CCW Live. You can catch that over at the Cape Championship Wrestling Facebook. Asa and Caleb welcomed Chris Slammer to the show tonight. Talked about Homecoming 2022, previewed May Mayhem, and got interrupted by Dalton, who jumped in and cut a fantastic heel promo. Couldn't be more proud of Dalton and what he's doing right now. Like, legitimately, that's not even a shot. Because anytime you hear me compliment Dalton, the first instinct is to go, oh, he's fucking around with him. No.
Is this sarcasm?
Yeah, Dalton's doing a fantastic job. He's coming across like such a star right now, and I love it. With me, of course, my co-host for the evening, the original host of Pro Wrestling Unscripted, before it got bad, Double H.
Well, I was going to do the hey, but now I'm here, and that happened.
We missed last week. We took a week off. Tonight, we got a couple stories we want to talk about, and then it's off to play the Watch Dogs.
That's correct.
First off, as we always do here, Hunter, we did have CCW over the weekend, and I just want to mention that myself was involved in a 4-on-4 tag match with yes. Dalton and a couple other fantastic guys. Chris Slammer was there on my team, Osby Tomlin and The Infinite, and then on Dalton's side, he had Kevin Cade. And Dangerous and Delicious. Two things from that. One, if you have me on Facebook, you can go on there and see the match. There's fan footage of it. It was actually pretty good. I'm actually pretty proud of it. I just always imagine I'm going to hate everything that I do in pro wrestling when I watch it back. But this wasn't too bad. I think my bumps are starting to look a lot better. Part of that, I want to thank Kevin Cade for it, is because he hit me really hard. And when you get hit really hard, it's easier to fall down. So
that's correct. Yeah.
But the second part of that, and we mentioned it on the show last night in case people didn't listen, is Justin Smart from Cape Championship Wrestling, the Juice, one half of Dangerous and Delicious, and our own Mandy Kennedy, who is both a CCW videographer and also a member of Podzilla 1985. They're getting married this weekend.
Yeah. Congratulations, guys.
Congratulations. That's just great news. I will actually be officiating the wedding. I will be performing the ceremony because Mandy and Justin pretty much thank me for bringing them together. This was after Mandy had quit CCW and I begged her to come back for me to film, and she did. She met Justin. The rest is history. So congratulations to Mandy and Justin. I'm so happy for you guys. I can't wait for this weekend. I just wanted to mention that. Give my shouts out to Mandy. So let's jump into it. Let's stop wasting time.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about it. And as you know, wrestling fans, over on the nerdiest part of the ring with Ace and Dalton, they start every show off by talking about something that they love in professional wrestling, bringing a little light to the darkness that is the wrestling world. Well, on this show, we are the opposite of that. We love to point out
We are the darkness.
And then the darkness. Hunter, my pick for something awful in wrestling that I hate this week.
Yes.
I was watching a segment from Raw. And I'm trying to remember what segment it was. It was on YouTube.
Which means it was definitely quality content considering that was two nights ago.
Yes. And I can't remember what it was. I want to say it was either AJ Styles versus Damian Priest. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. It was the Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes segment, which I think Cody Rhodes has been doing a fantastic job. Seth Rollins is one of my favorite things going right now. I can't understand what his character is, but I love it. But what I noticed was, as they're doing this promo and the crowd is just reacting loud to everything that is going on, like Seth insults Dusty and there's this huge boo and stuff like that. But what I noticed was that as loud as that crowd reaction was, not a goddamn person in the stands was making any movement or noise.
It's almost like perhaps that wasn't their actual reaction.
And like, I've heard the rumors for a while that WWE was canning the noise, you know, that they were putting right. in these fake reactions to make the show look better. And I get doing that because it does
the crowd.
Right. And it does add to the presentation. But at the same time, when you have such a loud reaction and literally no one on television is reacting, it makes it look so fake. And the opposite of our Star Wars adventure. It's the opposite of organic. It looks manufactured and terrible. And
because it is.
And it's sad too, because they had a great promo. They're doing a great feud. If the crowd's not reacting to it, you know, maybe make WWE television better instead of making it seem like everyone loves it. It's like Poochie.
Right.
You're treating WWE as Poochie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can agree with that assessment. I did see the clip, and I'm with you. I'm trying to remember exactly which one it was that was so bad. There was one that in particular that was really bad because the crowd noise was so... It was almost like you could hear somebody, and you've been behind a production board, same as I have.
Yeah.
Those little faders, it was almost like you could hear somebody just lean over and nudge one up. But it wasn't gentle. It wasn't a slow, like, let me turn this up a little bit. They, like... flicked it with their finger so that it went flying up to the top really fast. It was just awkward, man. If you're gonna do it, this is WWE, who has one of the best production companies in all of production. I mean, for the level, you know, if you look at it, you know, as compared to, you know, other major industries and stuff, at the level they're at and at the production that they do, the video packages they produce and the special effects that they do for all their stuff, it's incredible. We brag on WWE's production all the time.
Yeah, that's a bright quality. Spot. Yeah.
This ain't it. If you can do that, if you really have to can the noise, if you really got to pipe something in, there's got to be a better way. I feel like I'm in an infomercial right now. Like, I'm going
to
dump
there has the orange to be juice a better way.
Be a better way.
Well, except it's Vince McMahon walking around with, like, a, you know, a box, and it just says crowd reaction on it, and then he spills it and there's nothing there. There has to be.
Come on.
It's WWE right now is Ryback standing on top of the Hell in the Cell going, feed me a reaction. Please, God, give me something, or we'll create it ourselves, damn it. That's what I hate about wrestling this week. As a wrestling fan, as you said, as someone that has worked in production, as someone that has worked with a live show, it's just irritating to see. What about you? What do you hate this week?
Yep.
Hate.
I'm using this as a little bit of a preview for what I feel like is kind of the main event tonight. We've already kind of talked about how we're going to be discussing some big releases in WWE, actually in NXT primarily.
Yeah.
But one thing I hate every time this comes around, like, I don't like anybody losing their job. Right. In general, we've said that before. I don't like anybody losing their job. That's an unfortunate situation. Unless, of course, you earned it. Like, don't get me wrong. Some people absolutely deserve to lose their jobs.
All scenarios.
Generally, in these groups of releases, that's not the case. Right. But here's the thing. If you're going to release them, at least then don't make it seem like it's part of the show.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That drives me up the wall. Yeah. So I'm going to jump ahead a little bit on a couple of the people who were released. But in NXT, you know, there's been the two running couples for some time now. Indi Hartwell and Dexter Lumis. Yeah. And then Duke Hudson and Persia Parati. Was it Persia Parati? That's
yes.
her name.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm starting to revert to her previous name. And now I can't remember what it is either. But so half of each of those couples was released in this set of cuts. Dexter Lumis was one of them, and Persia Parati, leaving just Indi Hartwell and Duke Hudson, so the male and the female from the opposite couples. And yeah, I get that you have to address that in some form or fashion, because now those people just aren't going to be on TV anymore. Although I say that, you don't really have to address anything. You remember, right. I guess really inconsistency is what's bothering me, because you might remember too from this past Monday that Carmella and Zelina Vega are now apparently working for Sonya Deville. You remember a week ago when Sonya Deville slapped Carmella and they broke up as a tag team? That never happened, apparently. Well, now they're just her lackeys and henchmen.
Well,
henchwoman.
Henchwoman.
So
hench people.
So, you know, they have proven time and again that they don't feel like they have to address everything. And yet on NXT this past week on Spring Breakin', I hate that.
I prefer Spring Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
They had the two remaining members of those couples, like, interact, and they did a cheeky little, like, he acted like he was going to kiss her because they were sad, and then she's like, oh, hell no. And he's like, yeah, not in a million years or whatever. Oh, yeah, it's so funny. It's so funny that two people lost their jobs. Persia Parati, even on Twitter, was like, damn, the body ain't even cold yet.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
I think my favorite part of it is someone mentioned, just because Dexter Lumis got fired from the company doesn't mean that you lost him as a husband if you're married. Like,
right.
Like he was dead.
This is very much one of those things where it's they tried to like cheekily pull back the curtain, but also make it part of the show, and they failed at both things simultaneously.
Yeah.
Because again, the logic doesn't hold up, so you screwed that part up, and also you're acknowledging something you could have just ignored. And you could have just never mentioned it again.
And what I don't get about that, and let's take that and move that right into the first story. So the first story we're going to cover tonight, the important, the big one, is that there were a bunch of releases in the past couple of days from NXT specifically, or for the majority. I think it actually is maybe all NXT. And of course,
yeah, it was.
It was by Johnny Ace. And of course, it was budgetary cuts. Right. There were budgetary reasons they couldn't afford to keep these people around, despite
record profits in a pandemic. But
record profits, but can't keep these guys. The releases included, and we mentioned earlier, Dexter Lumis and Persia. Is her previous? Is it
Parati? I think it's Parati.
Is it Oh yeah, Persia Parati. There she is. There's two people on there, and I got their names confused. Dexter Lumis and Persia Parada. Paige Pronzivali, I don't know her, so if I'm mispronouncing that, I apologize.
Couldn't tell you.
Raylan Devine, Mila Milani, Draco Anthony, which was somewhat surprising, Sanjana George, Harland, which was also surprising, we'll talk about that.
Yes.
Dexter Lumis, which was surprising, I think I mentioned him earlier. They actually have him on there twice, I guess he got released twice. They hired him back and then fired him immediately.
He did have that serial killer thing. He probably tried to get back in the building, and then they were like, no.
Well, he was...
The name on the list.
To be fair to him, he was wearing someone else's face. So, they didn't know.
They couldn't tell.
Malcolm Bivens, which is surprising, and Dakota Kai, which was very surprising. So, there's some of these people I don't know, but there's some big names on that list.
I want to jump on Bivens' name real quick, because Bivens is less surprising when you find out some of the backstory to that.
Right.
He had evidently, as of this past December, his deal was about to expire, and he was saying he did not want to re-sign. I don't know that anybody has gotten into the nitty-gritty about why that was the case. I don't know if it was he was dissatisfied with his role, or
he probably watched the show
or what.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So they got him on an extension through, I think it was February, and that was mainly just to get them through the next, like, you know, couple of shows, and to get the Diamond Mind all set up, because he was, you know, managing that stable. But apparently since then, from December to that point, he had been saying, like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, as soon as I have another extension come up, I'm not going to sign it again, just so we're in the clear. And so my understanding is that they basically just kind of granted him early release. He wanted out anyway. Well, we can put you out this way. And then, you know, of course, the only thing about that is I would be very curious to see about, you know, what is he making in terms of, like, is there a severance? Is he getting any, you know, additional money on the back end of that?
Yeah.
And it was said that this set of releases prevents these guys from working for 30 days. NXT's contractual obligations are 30 days after, as opposed to Raw and SmackDown, which is 90, I think. 30 days. Did they just screw him out of a month's worth of work? Or was he kind of asking for this and they went, okay, sounds good?
I think part of that, too, if that's true, the rumor was that they wanted to bring him up to the main roster and have him manage Omos, if I remember correctly, and be in there.
Yeah.
And he declined, because part of that would be if they put him on the main roster, then his wait period would have been longer. Because like you said, it's 30 days for NXT. I think it's, 90 days for main roster?
It's like 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. 60, it's either 60 or 90.
And for what I understand, Dakota Kai is also someone that, even though she didn't explicitly say I want out, she also gave the hint that she wasn't going to resign either. Which is a shame, because Dakota Kai is fantastic. She's one of my absolute favorites.
I agree, but I think she was in a very similar situation to like a Johnny Gargano. You know, Dakota Kai was such a huge part of NXT when it was Black and Gold.
Yeah.
NXT 2.0 didn't know what to do with her any more than it knows what to do with any of the holdovers from the previous, you know, incarnation of that. So originally it was, okay, I'm on NXT. If I get called up to Raw or SmackDown, it might go well, it might not. It's generally about a 1-4 option. Generally it's not going to go well. So I'm going to try to say, you know, when it started becoming an option I'm just going to try to stay in NXT as long as I can. You had your Ciampas, your Garganos, those guys hanging around there as long as they could. Then they took that away too, which I think the conspiracy theorists have kind of latched onto. This is why we don't have Black and Gold NXT anymore. We have NXT 2.0 because they didn't want anybody going, well, I just want to stay in what is effectively developmental.
It's colorful now.
Yeah, so they take that away, and so now it's like, okay, well, they're going to start slowly weeding out the people who were here for that, and I have nowhere to go. This is, you know, the Titanic has broken in half. I don't have much in the way of options at this point. It's either go into the water or hold on to this thing until I eventually go into the water.
I think there's only...
I can't blame her.
I think there's only like two or three people left from the original Black and Gold. I know Cameron Grimes.
Yep.
I saw a couple
and
other
just
names
barely. Though. I mean, you're talking about by what, months maybe? If right. not, you know, right at a year.
He's one of the newer ones. Not much. For sure.
Yeah.
One person that won't be leaving NXT anytime soon, apparently, is Roderick Strong, who requested his release and was denied. And I saw
Ace pointed out the bit of like his whole stable leaves, nothing. His wife leaves, nothing. Malcolm Bivens granted his release, and Roderick's like, all right, I'm gonna head out. I'm done. That's it.
There was a meme someone had posted. It was from SpongeBob of like SpongeBob and Patrick outside playing, and I think it was like, I don't know, Mr. Krabs or Mr. Fish or whatever their names are. He's inside and he's looking outside at them and he looks all sad, and he was Roderick Strong, and then they were Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly in AEW.
I know.
Yeah.
It's sad that I know what you're talking about. It's Squidward who's looking out.
That's who it is, Mr. Squid. This. Yeah.
Yeah. He's looking That's
him. And then that's not even the talk. Harland was a surprise to me because he was such a big part of Joe Gacy. And, you know, I don't know what they're doing with him at this point.
He is the only one, Harland anyway, is the only one who, as best I could tell, they have almost explicitly said, like, he just wasn't as good as we hoped he was going to be. It's the most generic release. Like, we kept the guy around. We tried some stuff with him. It didn't really work. We let him go. And if that's the case, I mean, it is what it is. You know, a company should absolutely have like a level of standard. And if you can't meet it, then time to go.
How long has Tamina been there?
Yeah.
How long was Nia Jax there?
Tamina's also, both of those people are also part of which family again? Yeah,
the WWE there Universe, obviously.
And I don't want to spin off onto too much of a tangent here, but let's talk about Joe Gacy for a minute. So Joe Gacy shows up originally in 2.0, he's like on the very first show, if I remember correctly, with his like, you know,
safe space,
yeah, wokeism, like,
I
you know,
hated that
liberal culture
so
kind of, he never said any of those words other than safe space, but that was his bit, and he was supposed to be hated for it,
right? Because it's funny,
that
Hunter. Progression is funny, didn't you know
right.
that?
Yes.
Just ask the Supreme Court right now.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Sorry. Withdraw.
That didn't work.
Right.
And so they kind of like slowly evolved it into him being this sort of sinister, like right to censor, but in 2022 kind of guy in a way. Like, it's not really he's trying to censor things. He's just very, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to put this.
I don't know either.
It's driving me crazy.
Well, the last time
I saw him. And now he's the Undertaker.
Yeah, so the last time I saw him, he was in the ring talking about safe spaces and stuff like that. And I literally I saw him the other day. He kidnapped Rick Steiner, kept him in a cage.
Yes.
He has like druids now or something. I don't get it.
And then he had like two hooded mask guys attack Breaker last night after Breaker retained the title at Spring Breakin'. That's
Breakin'.
Why they did that.
Spring Breakin'.
Now I get it.
It's like when they named Rock,
they
you
spoiled
know,
the ending in the title.
It's like SmackDown and you know, it was named after the wrestler.
That was named for Hart Rippleman.
Oh,
Rock himself said it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's a true story. He said Whippleman was the one who came up with it, and he just ran with it. And then ever since he's been like, that wasn't me, guys. It was him. So Gacy is now this like, I don't know, kind of like Mormon serial killer. I don't know how to describe this gimmick. I really don't.
Maybe
he's doing the shirt tie thing, but also he's got the druids, and also like he's like kind of praying sometimes. I don't know.
Maybe
man.
That's why they got rid of Dexter Lumis. You only have one serial killer on the roster at a time, and if you're gonna have one, pick Dexter Lumis, because I'm shocked.
Right?
That some of these people that got released are so good. Dexter Lumis was so good. Dakota Kai is so good.
Yes.
Persia is so good. To circle back to what you said earlier about it, you hate when they put the storyline in there. I hate it when they take people's real life job loss and try to make it a joke or funny. They did
That's
same,
what I meant, basically.
Yeah, they did the same shit with Liv Morgan when, you know, I forget who it was now even that got passed.
Riot Squad.
Ruby
it
Riot.
Was, it was Ruby Riot and Sarah Logan both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Riot got released and they did the thing where she told someone, I don't even remember because who fucking cares at this point. It doesn't matter. my friends are gone, so you could have a bigger paycheck or whatever. Like, no, man, don't.
Oh yeah,
don't release people and then try to make it into an angle to get heat for somebody else. Like, that's so shitty.
Right.
WWE, they do some really good things sometimes. Their Make-A-Wish Foundation stuff is great. Their tribute to the troops is great. They could be
the
good.
Way they take care of their former talents who, you know, have fallen into addiction and have medical issues that they need taken care of. All that stuff is great and altruistic and awesome. it does not then take away from the other ways in which they do treat some other people.
Absolutely.
It was not
shitty.
That long ago that Mickey James got, you know, released as part of one of these things and got her shit sent to her in a garbage bag.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah, it's awful. So
ridiculous.
And now we got another round of roster cuts, and the rumor is there's going to be more. So there's probably going to be more names added to this list. I imagine.
I figure round two of this is going to move up to the main roster too. We're not just going to be seeing NXT cuts, because usually that's what they do. They do it by like group.
Yeah.
This was the NXT group, so who gets cut from the main roster is the next big question.
Yeah, the big question from that, I think, is what major star is going to get cut? Because it seems like now they always cut someone that's completely baffling. Like they cut Braun Strowman.
I would be pretty surprised in a way, just because he has been so prominently featured lately. But there's a part of me that would have to laugh for the character, not the man at all, if they cut Ezekiel or Elias or whatever.
Yeah.
If they just brought him back for like a month to fuck with Kevin Owens and then they just
let him go.
Cut him. Because you know that would then be turned into a story too. Okay, first he was Elias, then he's Ezekiel, now he's not even here.
Yeah.
Like what?
They would bring
it. You know it would be, and it would piss me off.
I would hope he would go to AEW as a third brother, like Aaron or something. That would.
The youngest one.
The youngest brother. Or the oldest one.
He just Benjamin Buttons his way through wrestling all the way back.
It gets younger.
He's getting younger.
He eventually ends up on like Ring of Honor as a fetus. You know, he's.
Is Marco handy anywhere? Can we get him for like a weekend? Can he play like the youngest version of Elias?
It's the Binding of Ezekiel. The Binding of Elias. Yeah, it's a good. It's one of my favorite games.
I like it. That's good stuff.
So that sucks. We got roster cuts. We'll wait and see who else gets cut. Congratulations to WWE on making even more money and cutting even more people. So
than ever before.
Yeah, good job. Good job.
Mm-hmm. Well
always,
done.
Always a pleasure. Really quick, quick note for Asa, who's probably not listening, but he's going to feel this through the force. Congratulations. One of his absolute favorites, Kane, Glenn Jacobs, won the Republican primary for mayoral reelection. He said, tonight was a victory for our Knox County conservative values. I kind of express my gratitude to everyone who's shown me support over the past month. It's my honor to serve as your mayor. And then he says something about how Knox County is great, and then snowflakes and might makes right or something. I don't know. The reason I brought this up is because I feel bad for Asa that one of his heroes turned out to be such a colossal piece of garbage.
Man, here's the thing. It's not just Asa. I don't remember what prompted this the other day, why I had Kane on the brain. But I got to thinking about, like, you know, obviously I've known for a long time that he's one of, if not Ace's like all-time favorite.
Right.
That has carried with me through like generations of my life. When Sarah first started watching wrestling, she had never really seen much of anything, and she started watching with me. She loved Kane. Kane was immediately shot to the top as one of her favorites. She thought he was awesome. Go back further than that. When I first started watching wrestling, Jake, you know him as Danny, he was the one who got me to start watching wrestling. Kane, top of the list, number one favorite. So there's always been somebody around me who has thought that Kane is just the greatest thing. And even Sarah the other day, as we were talking about something that he had said on Twitter, you know, to be fair, Glenn Jacobs
said on Twitter, not the character,
and it was
Kane.
Like this was the point where it just reached like, okay, I'm gonna have to either cut this thing completely loose, or I'm gonna have to find a way to severely divorce Glenn Jacobs and Kane as the same, you know, entity, because otherwise I'm not going to be able to even enjoy his old stuff anymore. Like, I'm just so tired of these people. Not for the record, not expressing their opinions. That is what it is. I hate when people play that, you know, oh, you're just a, you know, insert celebrity or fame level job here. You know, I don't need to hear your political opinions. That's not how that works. Everybody has the right to that opinion and they're allowed to say it. I just hate when I find out that it's something that makes me very sad. Not even that it's something I don't agree with. Just something that makes me very sad to know that this person that I liked now thinks.
Especially Kane.
Especially
because
Kane.
He said some especially
that man
stupid
was burned
things.
In a fire.
Yeah, but he said some especially stupid things that I disagree with. And like, yeah, I don't think you should censor people. Obviously, everybody's opinion, you're entitled to it. If you want to talk politics, especially if you're a politician, that makes sense. But yeah, the Kane thing is just,
you know,
just sad.
CM Punk, after you talked a little bit about it earlier, CM Punk today apparently said some things on Instagram.
I saw that tweet.
Or Twitter.
That tweet, yeah.
Yeah, where you know, people were like messaging him and saying, oh, you're going to cry like a little bitch now? You know, and he's like, yeah, pretty much. For all the people that I love who were actively having their rights stripped away.
For my mother, for my sisters, yeah.
Yeah, and of course people were like, oh, you know, you need to stick to the wrestling and leave the politics out. That's what I'm getting at. Like,
yeah.
In no way am I saying that these people should not have the right to express their own opinions. It makes me personally sad when people have the opposing ones. And for the record, I'm not talking about Punk there.
Right.
We're on the same page.
Yeah. This is a tangent I'm not going to get on a lot, but I have to mention it. I've always hated this belief that if you're a celebrity, keep your mouth shut, you do your thing.
Right.
I think it was LeBron James.
Do your job.
LeBron James, there was a Fox News host, I forget who it was, probably Laura, I think it was Laura Ingraham, that said, you keep your mouth shut, dribble your basketball. The belief that because you're a celebrity, you can't have an opinion on politics or whatever. And these are the same people that are giving their opinions on politics. Laura Ingraham is as much of a journalist as LeBron James is. She is she's a talking head. And I'm not even talking about just like right versus left. Just in general. Everybody has a right to their opinion. It doesn't matter what your job is. And thank you.
Thank you. I can sum it all up really quick. If you want to know why those people are so very upset about that, it's because all the famous people, all the people from Hollywood, which they love to rail on,
Hollywood elite.
They're going to have the exact opposite opinion, and they know that the people who like them are going to listen to those opinions. They don't want them saying those opinions, and so they try to get them to shut down on the basis of, you don't know what you're talking about, you're just a celebrity of whatever. I talked about this before? I'm having an extreme level of deja vu right now.
I mean,
this is really hurting me right
consider
now.
We've had to go through the same bullshit for the past how many years? We've probably talked about this before, Hunter.
Keep your opinions to yourself. Vaguely at everything moment.
Keep your opinions to yourself and talk about wrestling.
Yeah, you pocket. Just do the podcast.
Just do the podcast, stupid baby. All right. Well, we don't have enough time for that. But hey, would you believe that there's going to be probably an all new No Turning Back this weekend where we talk about what's happening at the Supreme Court? Hey, what do you know?
There should be.
But
back
to pro wrestling. The last thing we're going to talk about tonight, because I've decided that our show, it's the things we hate, and then we go into the three count, meaning three stories we want to talk about for the week. I just coined the phrase.
That's it.
There it is.
And then
it's over. The third thing we're going to talk about, Freddie Prinze Jr., famous actor. We should keep his mouth shut about politics, for Christ's sake.
But should talk more about wrestling.
But should talk about wrestling. Has plans to launch his own wrestling company. And he wants to bring it back to the basics. Whatever the hell that means.
Yeah, I'm real curious about what he means there. So there might be some people, surely nobody who listens to this show, but maybe who don't know that Freddie Prinze Jr. wrote for WWE for a while back in the mid-2000s. He was writing for, I don't know if it was Raw or SmackDown or both. I feel like that's when they were heavy in the brand split, because I think I remember reading him saying something somewhere about how he was like constantly pitching for his show and the other guys on the other show were trying to do whatever. So yeah, he kind of quietly in a way wrote for Raw for a while. He was one of the guest hosts when they had that era. On Raw. I said Raw. I don't know what show he's writing for. Probably Raw at that point. And he seems to have a real love for the business. He has this podcast where he talks about wrestling, and it seems like most of the stuff I've read from him seems pretty level-headed and interesting. And it, you know, he seems like the kind of guy who pitches, you know, stuff that would be, or when he was writing for them, pitch stuff that would be considered kind of like the basics. Let's get back to just brass tacks of these two guys don't like each other, and they're going to fight over this big shiny belt.
Yeah, I actually see a quote on
here.
But
is that what it is?
Well, he says on his three-year plan, he has a three-year plan, he said, I started watching other shows, older shows, old Ring of Honor. I started listening to Jim Cornette and his philosophies on wrestling. There's a trigger. There's a trigger warning for everybody. So I guess
you couldn't see me do the Mr. Robertson's neighborhood look of the.
I especially love this part here. He says she. Is he talking about Sarah Michelle Gellar, please? I hope so. No, he's not talking about her. Damn it. But he said he has money for a three-year plan, meaning it doesn't have to make money for 3 years before. And this is his quote. Before, he was like, yo, man, I got to do another damn movie. I have to be in Scooby Part 7 or some crap like that to keep this floating. Hey, don't diss. You don't have to tear down Scooby-Doo. You don't have to be Bill Murray and Garfield here.
Don't bring Scooby into this.
Right.
He didn't do anything.
So he wants to get up and running in 18 months. He has a three-year plan for it.
Okay.
And he wants to bring it back to basics. He's looking for a TV contract right away. He's going full into this, man.
Really?
He's going full into this.
See, that's what I was going to ask was, is he how soon does he want to be on TV? So he wants to be on TV right out of the gate.
That's what he says. Yeah.
Not going to happen. I mean, maybe at some level, but you're not going to be on a cable network or on like an actual, you know, network like right out of the gate. That's, yeah, there's just no way, dude. Come on.
If Control Your Narrative can't do it, you can't do it, Freddie Prinze Jr. You can't do everything.
I would like to believe that when he says TV, like I would hope that that would mean, okay, we want, you know, some kind of deal with somebody who's broadcasting somewhere. Yeah. TV at this point means almost anything. It could right. be on the internet, on somebody's, you know, like series of programming. Basically, if you're anywhere above YouTube, that's TV. Okay, well, you could probably swing that then. Roku might be, you know, Roku's producing the Weird Al movie. Maybe they want wrestling too. Maybe they want to.
I didn't know that.
You know, yeah, it's going to be on like the Roku channel. If you have a Roku device, you can watch the Weird Al movie for free.
Wow.
True story.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Freddie Prinze, this is his quote on making this plan a reality. It's not a dream. It's a plan. It will be a reality. My only thing is how quickly can I pull it off? At what sacrifice? I've said this before. Wrestling requires 100% of you to do it right, regardless of what side of the camera you're on. It's one of the reasons I wouldn't go back to WWE. I couldn't give them 100%, can't travel all over. But if I had a local show in Los Angeles, an office I could go to every day, I would have a booker because I cannot book to save my life. At least he admits it. He can write. He can connect with people. Yeah. And he can pull off good performances out of people when their bosses didn't think that was within them before. So, yeah, he sounds like he's all ready to go on this. My biggest thing, you mentioned you're not going to be on TV right away. Is the wrestling landscape big enough for another company right now? You've got AEW, obviously. You've got WWE, which is the big guy. You've got AEW, which if you listen to Jim Cornette, not all of Jim Cornette's critiques are accurate and they're not all true, but some of them are. Sure. And he has talked about before how AEW in the almost 3 years they've existed now have not really grown their audience. They had their audience and they've maintained it, but they haven't grown it, even with picking up CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, and Andrade, Adam Cole, and
basically the rest of Undisputed
Christian
Era.
Yeah,
almost,
they haven't moved the needle really. So Is wrestling big enough for a third entity to come in? You know, what is the landscape going to look like?
At that level, no. Because, I mean, you just stopped at WWE and AEW. There's still Impact Wrestling.
Sort of.
You know, ROH has kind of like folded into AEW at this point.
Right.
But there's still, what is it like? MLW, I think, is still running like not nationally televised, but like major, you know, televised programming. Like there's a bunch of other GCW.
Yeah, GCW.
That's who I was trying to think of. Yeah. These guys all have, you know, some sort of, that's what I was getting at earlier when I said like television deal. If you're being broadcast somewhere, that's basically television at this point. I think at that level, at the level that we're talking about there, there's still room for basically everybody. That may as well be the territories, right?
Yeah,
that's
much.
The version of the territories we have these days.
Right.
I don't know that you're going to get anything above that, but it sounds like he really just wants to, he's got a 3-year plan. He's going to get it going. It's going to make its, you know, its own money and keep itself successful. Dude, if that's what you want to do, then go for it. You got the money for it. You got the plan. You got the concept. I hope he tempers his expectations to a certain level. Yeah. And I'm sure that there are people who would look at me and go, well, you can't do that. If you want to be a successful, you know, business person, you've got to constantly reach for better and better stuff. And I think you can do both things. I think you can
have
do that
to do both.
While simultaneously tempering, you know, an understanding of here's where we need to be. And if it gets going bad, I can't just quit. My biggest curiosity with him. So it sounds like he wants to run LA. So he wants to be on the coast, probably where he lives. He's planning on setting everything up there. Probably not touring, especially not at first, right? Be on TV, but run out of the same building regularly, I'm guessing, or at least maybe in the same area. Who does he want? Because AEW is snatching people up like crazy.
Left and right.
Now, they, of course, have you know, been very lenient about who can go work other shows and you can go do stuff with other companies.
Yeah, but this seems big. This seems too big for...
Right.
Yeah.
And anybody that WWE latches onto, they're sure as hell not going anywhere. They're not going to loan them to anybody anytime soon.
Well, no, they're independent contractors.
Yeah, so is it... Right. So is it just going to be another case of like just another place for people to work? Because that maybe that's not such a bad thing.
No.
But at the same time, who are going to be your local guys? Like, are there guys out there who need to be working a regular? You know, I'm thinking along the same model of CCW. You got your guys who maybe not necessarily local, some local, you know, obviously, but who are always at those shows, and then you have a few who are coming in, you know, on the circuit, and then you have like one, you know, big guest star every once in a while, if not every, you know, show. Well, is that the idea? Is that the plan? I don't know.
There's a lot of people that they could pick up. AEW, you know, we talk about WWE releases. AEW just had a whole bunch of people head out, including Marco Stunt, who was with, you know, CCW, our hometown promotion. Joey Janela, you know, Stu Grayson apparently just left AEW.
He wasn't coming back.
So who the hell knows? I mean, there's a lot of people. Control Your Narrative will probably be out of business within a couple of weeks, and they could pick up Adam Shear, the Titan, or whatever.
I don't know, man. You know, they're gonna overturn this thing, and then next thing you know, they're gonna control their narrative.
Well, Hunter, the real battle is within themselves. Anyway.
I hate it anyway, so much. We're gonna, Shannon Young has controlled his narrative.
We're gonna keep an eye on this, as we always do. And when developments happen, and we have the Freddie Prinze Jr. wrestling show, and we'll let you know. Bring back Matthew Lillard and Sarah Michelle Gellar. What's she been doing lately? I miss her. I miss Buffy. That was a good show.
This feels like that Anchorman bit where the sportscaster, it's David Koechner's character, I can't think of it, sits down beside him, and he's like, I miss you. I miss you, Ron. I miss your musk.
I miss Sarah Michelle Gellar's musk. Yes. All right. Well, we're going to cut it off there. We're going to get out of here. Really quick before we go.
That seems like a good place.
Before we go, I did see one other thing that really made me laugh. So Cody Rhodes is going to be on the, what is it? Is this Smoking Skull Ranch, Broken Skull Sessions, something like that?
Broken Skull Sessions. You got it right the second time.
He's going to be on there.
But I will be naming you the former one in the group chat very soon.
Well, thank you. they did a preview clip of him, and Stone Cold said, "What's your favorite band?" And without missing a beat, Cody Rhodes said, "Our Lady Peace." And the look on Stone Cold's face, and he goes like, it's a band out of Canada, and someone spliced in the Chris Benoit theme and like the Titantron video, and I'm like, no, stop it.
Speaking of Cody Rhodes, I gotta say it before we go. I don't know if you saw that. So like, because the crowd just wants to hate the fact that these two people like each other, Sammy Guevara and Tay Conti have officially like turned heel basically at this point.
Right.
So they were at what is it, Triple Mania? They did the Triple A show. They won their mixed gender tag titles, I think is what they call them, but like their intergender, you know, tag titles. By way of Sammy just like acting like he had an injury and having a sub wrestle for him for a while, and then when that guy and Tay won the match, Sammy was like, no, I'm good, I'll take that. Just walked in and took the title. So I saw a picture of them where people were talking about how like they're becoming the new Cody and Brandy, you know, in AEW, only they're actually embracing being heel. And someone in the comments goes, well, gee, you couldn't have made it any more obvious because someone had Photoshopped Cody's neck tattoo onto Sammy. And no shit, there were people in the comments that were like, did he really get Cody's neck tattoo? Like, no, man, come on.
Cody shouldn't have gotten Cody's neck tattoo. My God.
No, no one should have gotten that neck tattoo.
Bad look. All right, speaking of bad looks, we're going to get out of here. So, tomorrow, we got an all-new After Dark, other shows to pay attention to this week. Hunter, tell them to check out last night's Star Wars Spectacular.
Yeah, we had what is our version of the Star Wars holiday special, only it wasn't a holiday. By the way, we never even mentioned that it was May 4th the next day.
We didn't. No. No. Damn it.
But we did basically like a retrospective of the entire Dawn of Defiance campaign for PZ85 Plays. It's been a year and a half going, damn near 2 years, and more so even than I thought. I thought we started in September,
August.
A couple of years ago. It was August.
Day after my
birthday. So we're nearing in on 2 years, and we're not going to quite make it there because we have one episode of the show to go. One more, like the series finale, which is coming your way next week. So last night we did a character retrospective, a kind of career retrospective of the whole thing. It was me and Shannon along with all the other players, Tanner, Lindsay, and Cody, all talking about their characters, about the campaign itself. Went way longer than any of us expected, but not like a long show. Just we were like, oh, we'll do 30
minutes.
30 minutes.
No, we won't. Right.
There's no way.
No. Not once Tanner gets talking.
But it was really good. It was a lot of fun. I think it's one of those things where so often on plays I go, hey, don't listen to this yet, go back and catch up. You could start here.
You can actually
start right there. Yeah. And it would be great, honestly. Yeah. And then start, you know, fresh from there. So we had that last night. We did Arguably Entertaining this past weekend, which went up a couple of days ago.
Great.
Me and Cody, I jumped into the ring for the first time on that show to defend Indiana Jones against Cody's James Bond argument. I will not spoil the ending here, but I think we all agreed when it came out and it was all said and done that this is probably, if not the best, one of the best Arguably Entertainings we've done yet.
It's the quintessential episode of that, I believe. And then Monday, or Sunday, I don't know. We fucked up the timeline somewhere. It was After Dark that we didn't post last week, talking about our favorite TV episodes. We'll have another After Dark tomorrow, and then we'll see what else happens. So we're out of here, guys. For myself, for Double H, for Ace and Dalton, who we want you to absolutely check out at Nerdiest Part of the Ring over on their podcast. They'll talk about wrestling tomorrow and in an expanded way, way better than we did. Go check them out. We'll see you guys next
week.
They'll
go into the multiverse of it.
Yes. Ooh, ooh. Easy there. That sounds fantastic. All right. We're out of here, guys. We'll see you next week. For PW Hunter, take us out.
Later.